If you'll turn with me in God's Word this morning to the book of Galatians and the chapter 1. Book of Galatians and the chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And we want to begin our reading this morning at the verse number 1. And there God's Word says, Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please man? For if I yet please man, I should not be the servant of Christ. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. I just want to read one verse to you, but we will be considering a few more verses in that chapter. But Galatians chapter 1, and I want to read to you that verse number 6. And there it says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And let us bow in prayer and let us ask the Lord to come now and to bless the preaching of his word. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank thee for thy grace and thy mercy that has been manifested to us already, and that we have been enabled to worship thee and to sing thy praise. And Father, we thank thee we have been singing of thy grace. And Lord, we thank thee that thy grace has been manifested in the person of thy Son. And Lord, we are to declare him to all nations. And Father, as we come now to the word, as we come now to the preaching of the truth, help me, O God, I pray, to declare thy Son, that he might be uplifted, that he might be glorified, and that his name might be preeminent. And Lord, I pray today that the name of man would perish, but the name of our God and our Saviour would be high and lifted up. So undertake now for us. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, it is believed that under the reign of Mary the First, who was Queen of England from July 1553 until November 1558, there was no less than 284 people martyred for their faith and belief in the gospel. We know very well that Mary the First was a zealous Roman Catholic, and she had one primary goal in her reign as monarch. She wanted to obliterate the Protestant faith. She wanted to see those reforms that had been brought into that country at the time reversed and totally cast out, and she wanted the Roman Catholic Church again to have preeminence in England and in the nation at that time. Now, how did Mary do this? Well, she of course didn't do it by debate, and she didn't do it by preaching, she didn't do it by any other method. Mary just very simply sought to persecute and to execute. And this then led to the death of many precious saints of God. Many went to the stake, and there they burned there, and they sealed their testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ with their blood. And you know, Mary was then called Bloody Mary. Because this woman here had an unquenchable thirst for blood and an unquenchable hate for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one of the many famous persons that was martyred under her reign was a man by the name of Thomas Cranmer. Now, Cranmer, on 13th of November 1553, with four other saints of God, was brought to trial for treason. And they were found guilty, and they were condemned to death. It was said of Cranmer at this time that he had encouraged heresy and that he had written heretical works very simply because he promoted the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in prison at that time, Cranmer wrote a letter to a friend and he had one desire. It was this, in his own words, "I pray that God may grant that we may endure to the end." But yet Cranmer, unfortunately, fell off the bandwagon, if you want to put it like that, because it's believed that as Cranmer saw others martyred for the faith, that he went as far as to recant the doctrines that he had promoted and that he had been found guilty of promoting. And it is even said that at one point Cranmer acknowledged the supremacy of the Pope. And so many maybe at this time would have called him a coward, and they said he was a traitor to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was expected that Cranmer would stand up maybe on a stage like this and that he would recant his Protestantism and then he would uplift the Roman Catholic Church. And yet, Cranmer came and it seemed that he had a change of heart, because upon that speech and upon opening his mouth to these Roman Catholic zealots, he said these words, "And as for the Pope, I refuse him as Christ's enemy and Antichrist with all his false doctrine." So Cranmer then had another change of heart. Cranmer then returned to the truth. And Cranmer then was martyred for his faith. You see, we said already, Cranmer, for fear of his life, recanted the doctrines that he promoted, but yet it's not how he did there at this time, it's how he finished his life, and he finished his life confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore we could say that Thomas Cranmer finished his life persevering in the doctrines of grace, and in the gospel. He persevered to the end, and he stood by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a zealous man for the faith. And see, this is something that we see with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, who wrote the letter to the Galatians, was a man who was zealous for his faith. He was zealous for his doctrines. He was zealous for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only did he persevere in them, but he sought that others would persevere in them, because his gospel, as he saw it and as he rightly saw it, was the gospel given to him by God, and therefore it was the most preeminent message in the whole world. Think of his words in Galatians 1 on the verse 8. He says, "But though we, or any angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." And so Paul here is saying, if anybody else preaches another gospel than the one that I have preached, let him be accursed. Strong language here. But Paul, as he said, was zealous for the gospel as it had been revealed unto him. He wanted to promote the gospel that he preached, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is the gospel that he preached to these churches in Galatia. He had laid down very clearly the doctrines of the gospel, the doctrines of grace. And yet he comes here to this church again, and he finds that the church is beginning and are in a process of departing from the truth of God, from departing from the doctrines that Paul had taught them. They were going away from God, and they were getting away from the truth. And so quickly then they were departing into apostasy. That's just the words in here in this letter, Galatians chapter 1. And we see the Apostle Paul doesn't have any real time for pleasantries. He doesn't come to this church and commend them or praise them for anything noteworthy, but he comes right away and he gets to the matter of hand, and he wants to scorn them, as it were, lovingly scorn them for what they had done. Now, there was no time to say anything else. There was a great danger in this church. Apostasy was looming. And Paul here comes with these words in order that he might correct them. This was a church in danger. That's what I want to speak about this morning in this service, very simply, as my theme, a church in danger. A church in danger. First thing we see here is their responsibility. Their responsibility, because the one thing that the apostle wants to do, right away when it comes to this matter of this church getting away from God and getting away from the doctrines of grace, Paul wants them to come and to stand up and to take responsibility for what has happened here. He wanted them to see that it was their responsibility and it was their fault that they're in this situation. Think of verse 6 of Galatians chapter 1. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Let us emphasize that small word there. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed. And what the apostle is simply saying in our language is, I marvel that you are so soon removed, you. Paul right away points the finger to them. Oh, there could be many people that were blamed in this situation. We could go to those false teachers that have come to the churches of Galatia with that false message. We could really blame them and say, oh, it was their fault. But Paul doesn't start with them. He starts with these people here. It was the Galatian church that was beginning to part from the gospel. See, this situation here was an awful one. And Paul here says he marvels. And that word there, marvel, very simply means that Paul was surprised. He was so surprised that these people had departed from the gospel. They had been well established by the apostle himself. This is a church that was established by him, and no doubt, knowing Paul as we know him through the scriptures, they were well established in the doctrines of grace. And Paul, in the later part of the book of Galatians, says that they had received the word with joy. And yet the Bible now tells us, as we come here, they were forsaking the joy of the gospel. And they were going away from what Paul had clearly taught them. Think of what Paul said to them in Galatians 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Paul has simply preached the truth of Christ and him crucified among them. And what was their responsibility with the truth of the gospel? It was to remain in the truth of the gospel. It was to remain in the doctrine wherein Paul had established them in. And yet this was not the case. They began to depart. And they began to go into apostasy. These churches were not in a good situation. If there's one thing we'll understand about the church this morning, there is this body here gathered together. And we're gathered around the Word of God. And yes, it's the body of the church. It's the visible church that sits before me here. But as a corporate body, you must understand that there are individuals. And every individual here who claims to be saved, who claims to know the Lord Jesus Christ, has a responsibility to continue on in the doctrine of God and in the gospel of Christ. That's your responsibility. It's your responsibility to go on with God. To go on as he has revealed himself to you and his word. Christ was set before these people and they had to go on. And the doctrines of God are set before you week by week. And it's your duty to go on in them. To obey the commands. To do what the Lord has asked you to do. And this is vital for any church. I think of the early church in Acts chapter 2 and the verse 42. It says, and they continued steadfastly. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. This church here met on the basis of doctrine and on the basis of the doctrine that the apostles had taught to them. The Bible says they continued steadfastly. And what a wonderful example it is for us to continue steadfastly in the doctrine of God. And we must go on in its commands, its teaching, its practices. Let me ask you this morning, individually, are you going on in the doctrines of God? Are you obeying the Lord? Are you following his word? Are you obeying all that he has revealed unto you by his grace? These people here had to see that they were doing wrong. The Galatian church had to see their error. Now they had to be rebuked. They had to be brought to their senses, and Paul didn't come with these scornful words to hurt them. He came to correct them. And maybe there's one here this morning, and that's exactly what you need. You need to be rebuked, because you're not walking with God. You're not going on in the gospel. You're forsaking the things that you've been taught in this church. And you need to be brought back. You need to be restored this morning. Oh, see the warning for your soul here. To get back with God and to get back walking in the good old way that he has shown unto you. Find a place of repentance, I pray for you this morning. You know, the Bible says in Galatians, in the later part of Galatians, that Paul was fearful for these people. And that's a wonderful truth. You see, Paul was fearful for them because if they did not persevere in the gospel, It's not that they would lose their salvation. It was proof that they were never saved in the first place. And I tell you something this morning, when it comes to obedience to the gospel, when it comes to obedience and obeying the commands of God, these are not an option. These are not a thing that I just lay before you this morning and hope that you do them. You have to do them. You have to persevere, because perseverance is the only assurance you have that you're really saved at all. We think of Cranmer earlier. Thomas Cranmer continued on in the gospel. Yeah, he fell by the wayside in a moment of weakness, but he went on with God. And maybe there's one here this morning, you've fallen off the bandwagon as it is. But yet it's not too late to get on the road again of righteousness, to persevere on with God. I would say to you this morning, if you're not going on with God, you're not persevering in your faith, there's no assurance for you, and I fear for you this morning. Fear for you. If you're not walking with God, there is an evidence that you're not even saved. You need to get back on that good old road. Look what Paul here says. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed. So soon. So soon had these people been taught the gospel. So soon had they got away from God. And why is this? Well, the second thing we'll see is their situation. We've seen their responsibility, but we see here their situation. What happened to these believers? Why did they go away from God? Why did they depart from Paul's doctrine? Was it not just simply a case of bringing these false teachers in and saying, your doctrine is wrong? Because the Apostle Paul has taught us the truth of the gospel. And it was not fair to say that they could just say to them, go far from us. That they could cast them off. And why didn't they do this? But the Bible says Paul here marveled that they were so soon removed from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a truth this is. Because when we get here and we see this situation, when we see what happened, when we see what this people did, we'll understand that none of us are prone to go away from God. Here's a better truth. The Free Presbyterian Church isn't prone to go away from God. It can happen to us. It's happened to great denominations in the past, and it can happen to us. What an awful situation that would be. And why does it happen? It happens because the people who received the gospel here in Galatia, yes, they were saved people. I believe ultimately they were saved. But they are people of flesh and blood. They're men and women just as we are. And they are natural people of flesh. And what does the Bible say of people like that? It says in Ephesians 2 and 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh. And this is speaking of us when we are not saved. There was this flesh, there was this yearning after sin, this desiring for things that were anti-God, and this desiring for things that broke the commandments of God. And it says there in Ephesians 2 and 3 that we fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we went on sinning against God with no thought whatsoever. And we were far away in a state of apostasy from God. And it says, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And so this is our natural condition. We are men and women of flesh naturally, and therefore away from God and far from God. This is your estate, but doesn't the Bible teach us that there has been a change? See, when the Lord saved you, the Lord gave you the Holy Ghost. And you understand this morning that you are in possession of the Spirit of God, and the Bible tells you that the Spirit leads you in those things that are good. And He gives you the desire to fulfill the commandments of God. But you must understand as well that as you are created anew in Christ, there is still the old nature that lingers. And what does Paul do in another letter in Colossians 3 and 10? He says, of a believer, he says, and have put on the new man, which was renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. So it gives us an understanding that we are created anew. And as we're created anew, the Bible says we're renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created us. So we're renewed in the image of God and in the knowledge of the gospel. And therefore we're being transformed in our mind. And the Lord is leading us then in the good old path of the gospel. And yet, despite the leading of God, there is that old flesh within us
Paul said, I marvel that you. He was surprised at them, these people of flesh and blood. We understand then that within us there is something that would go away from God, that would depart from Him. Had it not been for the grace of God, we would be away as quick as you look at us. We would be away into sin. Oh, we would embrace every false doctrine possible. And that's why we have so many churches. And yes, we could say that there are genuinely saved people, but this is why we have charismatic chaos and all of these things, because the flesh rears its ugly head. And the flesh can take us so far away from God. And I say to you this morning then, I would ask that you would ask the Lord Jesus to give you a spirit that you might be led in the good old way of the gospel. Because the flesh can take you into this awful situation, and yet the Lord will lead you in the right path. He'll lead you into the doctrine of God, and He'll keep you there. Oh, you'll not be like that sheep that has gone astray. You'll be like that one that is led by the Spirit on the path of righteousness. But understand, dear believer, you must stick to the Word. Let the Spirit of God teach you through His Word. Let Him guide you through the Word. Read it every single day and He'll keep you going. Because you must understand that within you is that which is still anti-God. Sung earlier in that hymn, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Prone to leave the God I love. Prone to go away from God. We must stand fast in these days. Stand fast in the gospel. Oh, that we would not be a fickle people, so soon removed. But that we would go on with God in these days and walk in the light of His Word. And look at the awful implication here. Look at this other situation that is arising. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. What's the ultimate consequence here of a person departing from God and of a person and a church departing from the gospel? Sorry, it is that they are far away from God. The apostle says, I marvel you are so soon removed from Him that called you. And who is that there? It is the Lord. So what is the implication here? When a person goes away from the commandments and the gospel of God, they go away from God Himself, because they go away from His Word. Not that word remove means to transfer or to change sides. So go away from God is to transfer to the side that is against God. Understand that, dear believer, to walk in disobedience is to be against God. For a church to go away from the gospel as a church that is against God. And this here essentially is what apostasy is. It's a being away from God. This church here was away from the Lord. And they're away from the Lord who had been so gracious to them. It says here, from Him that called you. Not there speaks about the call that comes to a sinner in their unsaved state. And that sinner there is in their sin, and yet the Lord calls them. He gives them such a call that they inevitably come to Christ. This here shows the grace of God, and the Lord calls them into the grace of Christ. He calls them into Christ that they might receive all the blessings that He has made for them. What a wonderful thing it is that the Lord has done that for us. And yet will we substitute the Lord and all of His grace in calling us into Christ for a gospel or for a message of bondage? Dear believer, would you walk in sin and disobedience to God and be in bondage to that, and yet not stand in His mercy and in His grace? The Lord has been so gracious to us. Oh, let that motivate us to go on with Him. And to be so zealous for the gospel of Christ. Oh, that we would not endure any sin in our heart. That we would not endure any false doctrine off this pulpit. No, that we would want to go on with God who has called us under the grace of Christ. And these people were moved onto another gospel. They were moved onto another message. And any other message is a message that damns a soul. Oh, let us not then depart from the Lord. Let us not get into the situation these people are in. Let us see then that there were men and women of flesh, that we will go on with God, that we will continue to walk with Him and the grace of the gospel. Oh, that we would not go into bondage, that we would walk in that liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. That's their situation. But then, lastly, we'll see here their obligation. See, when it comes to the gospel, and when it comes to persevering in the faith, we've already said that we must understand that we're men and women of flesh and blood, and that we have that inner desire and that inner motivation to go away from God. We know that this morning, and how we prevent that is that we go to the Word of God and we let the Spirit of God lead us in our lives. But there are measures that we can put in place, because there are preventative measures that can ensure that we go on with God and that apostasy would not linger into any of our churches. Think of what Paul says here in Galatians 1 verse 7. He says about the Judaizers and their gospel, which is not another. And when speaking about the gospel, but there be these some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And we see there the very clear situation there, those that are coming into the churches of Galatia, and they are seeking to seduce them by their doctrine. See, we've already said that the apostle in the first place pointed the finger to the people. He said, ye are so soon removed. But now he's going to move on. And he's going to deal with these false teachers, these Judaizers who came and troubled the church. Troubled it. And they sought to pervert the gospel of Christ. And this is something that will happen in any age. People will come into churches and they'll keep to cause trouble by their message and their doctrines. And even worse, they'll seek to pervert the gospel of Christ. And I've seen that happen. I've seen people come into churches. And they've come with their doctrines. And they've come with their teaching. And they've come with all of these things. And they took the people away in other direction. And the people have been corrupted by their trouble. These people are the agents of Satan. They come and they want to pervert the gospel. And that's going to happen to us. They want to pervert the Word of God. They want to pervert the Lord's Day. They want to say, well, the Lord's Day is not a biblical teaching. They'll say that to you. They'll say all of these things to you that are anti-scriptural to get you away from the truth of the Word of God. We mustn't let that happen. How do we prevent it? Look at verses 8 and 9. But though we or any angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And notice here what Paul says. He says here, if any other man or any angel or anyone come with another message unto you, let him be accursed. You see, Paul here is speaking of creatures. He's speaking of angels. He's speaking of men. And he's speaking of the type then that would come and they would maybe seek to pervert the gospel of Christ and bring them onto their own gospel and create their own message and seek to take them away from the apostolic message that we know is the message of God. And why do they do this? That's right, why was Paul so zealous then? Because his message was from God, and yet creatures were coming to pervert the gospel of Christ. And we understand something, the Lord is above any creature. His word is above the word of any creature. You must not let any man or any woman come and pervert the gospel of Christ. You must not let them do that in our midst. If they come into the midst of us with their gospel and with their teaching, we say to them, go to the word of God and see what God says. And God's message will expose them as fraudsters. And as those who would seek to trouble the church and pervert the gospel of Christ. And what does Paul say here? He says, let them be accursed. And the idea of that word accursed there is to be banned or excommunicated. Something that is an absolute curse. Something that is to be damned. And the Apostle Paul uses very strong language there. That's very strong. And he repeats it twice. He seeks to bring it home and to emphasize the fact that these people who came to pervert the gospel were to be accursed. They were to be removed. They were to be cast off and departed from. That was the obligation of the church here. They were to remove those who sought to pervert the gospel of Christ. This false gospel was not to be met with any recognition whatsoever. And this is where the Galatian church had gone wrong, because the gospel had come to them. It was not the gospel that they had seen by the Apostle Paul. And what did they seek to do? They sought to embrace it. They didn't seek to cast it far from them. No, they took it and they said, well, yes, that must be true. And they were then all submitting to circumcision and all of these Old Testament laws and all of these things that could never get them to heaven. They departed from the gospel. And what do we do if anybody comes and they come with any other message? We cast them off. And if there are people with us who will not cast them off, and we cast ourselves off and we get away from it. That's a simple biblical teaching. We do not tolerate that which is not good and that which is not biblical. We don't tolerate it for a second. And let's bring it home to an individual this morning. We do not tolerate even the smallest of sins. Don't tolerate the things that are anti-God. We don't even tolerate them. We don't let these things linger. We think of the Old Testament scriptures. We think of Joshua 7. And we know the story well there of Achan and how Achan stole from the Lord. And when Achan stole from the Lord, we know that the Lord was no longer with the children of Israel. And the children of Israel then went on to battle, and they lost that battle to Ai, because they had no longer the strength of the Lord with them. Because there was an unclean thing in their midst. There was one whom was not to be tolerated. And yet the presence that lingered there cost Israel so dearly in their battle. And if we let sin or false doctrine linger, it will cost us, because we'll end up like all the apostate churches out there. Because when you begin to tolerate something that's impure, well, then you begin to tolerate other things. And next thing you know, it will be a church that is away from God. And that's what's happened. The Presbyterian Church, Professor Davey, when he came with his doctrines that were anti-biblical and heretical and were only from hell, what did they do? They let him stay there. They let them into the colleges. Look at the state of them today. And I know that personally, because I sat under a woman who would have took us into a Catholic church. And that's the results of apostasy. That's what happens when you let those things linger. They grow and turn to all sorts of evil. But what did the children of Israel do? When they got Achan, when they saw the man that was unclean, when they saw this curse before them, they cast him off and they burnt them with fire and they removed them from the camp. And what a wonderful principle. Anything, whether it's sin in our hearts, whether it's a false teacher on the pews, cast them out and don't let them linger. And that's how we prevent the gospel from being corrupted. That's how we stay pure. Every believer this morning, see, it's your obligation to do that. 2 Corinthians 6:17, a verse we all know so well. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. If we keep going on in the ways of the gospel, and we do not tolerate anything that is anti-God, the Lord will be with us. And we will be near in His wonderful presence. Paul says in verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. What was Paul saying here? Who am I going to please? Am I going to please men or am I going to please God? The sad reality is today, and I don't want to turn this into a thing where we're bashing everybody, but the sad thing is today that there are preachers who stand and they look at their people and they seek to please them. Seek to please them. And they say, well, I have to tone down the message a wee bit because my church is emptying out. I'm not faithful. I'm not saying our denomination, I mean, and these churches that have departed from the Lord. Let me ask you this morning, who do you seek to please? Do you seek to please God? Or do you seek to please man? If we want to please God, then we have to remain in the gospel of Christ. And in the doctrine that has been laid before us so clearly. Well, let us then see that there is a danger that can come into the church of Christ. Let us see then that we must go on with God. And will you be like Cranmer? And we will say, I pray that God may grant that we may endure to the end. Will we endure with God? Will we go on with Him? Will we remain pure? And while we seek to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ as He has been revealed to us in His precious word, I pray we will, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. We'll bow in prayer. We'll bring our meeting to a close. Ask the Lord bless us as we part one from the other. Our Father and our God in heaven, we do thank Thee for the revelation of Thy precious word. We do thank Thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, O Father, that it is a gospel of grace, that it is a gospel of liberty. And Lord, we thank Thee that in Jesus Christ we have been made to stand upon perfect liberty. And Lord, we then are standing as recipients of Thy mercy and recipients of Thy salvation. O God, help us always to remember the grace of God and to continue on in the doctrine that He has laid before us, that we would be pure in our lives, that we would obey Thy word, and we would walk in Thy ways. Lord, just undertake now for us, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost abide. Amen. Amen.